start. Sooners of Oklahoma at 12-0 and still looking for respect nationwide.
What is going on, Sooner Nation? Thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Barry and Mac Show. As always, myself, Barry, personal trainer, sports performance coach out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And alongside me, former Sooner wide receiver, 2000 national champ, Mr. Damian Mackey. How are we doing today, D-Mac?
Oh, how I've missed doing our podcast. We took a week off, did Disney. I was getting DM like, Mackie, when you guys coming back? Like, hey, man, I got the kids. We doing Disney. Barry's taking care of business. We'll be back to a studio near you soon. So good to be back in the saddle. We are officially in football season. Obviously, the SEC Media Day just came, and there's some interesting things I'm sure we're going to be discussing today. But I'm good. I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I'm losing weight. Doing good, man. I feel really good.
Love it, man. And losing weight's big time, man. Those listening to the pod audio, especially, you might hear the weights clanging in the background, man. Got people here getting after it. If you are in the Tulsa area, hit me up. But before we get started, want to make sure everybody knows that this podcast, as always, brought to you by OUinsider.com. If you are not a part of the movement yet, man, DMAC, they are adding a bunch of features. They're going to have some extras over there, some perks for some members. Guys, if you just want a site that you just have to, just one site. I know everybody's got all these memberships floating around there. If you want one place that you can go to get the football stuff, to get the entertainment stuff, to get the recruiting nuggets that all the guys want to be able to take to their buddies on the Discord and steal the information and all. If you want that, OUinsider.com is the place for you. Brandon Parker and the gang, everybody over there doing a phenomenal job. But as D-Mac alluded to, we are in football mode. SEC Media Day officially upon us. Venables, Jackson Arnold, Billy Bowman, and Danny Stussman already took the podium on the previous day. And they had a lot to say, D-Mac. I think the biggest highlight and the thing of note, particularly in Venables' press conference, was how people are excited about the matchups that we have not gotten. Right? Venables has a history with South Carolina, but OU doesn't have a history with South Carolina. Venables has played Auburn the past 3-4 years. OU has not really played Auburn other than that bowl game. There are going to be some really cool matchups that, as fans, we look forward to seeing. I'm sure as a former player, an alumni, a guy who was a part of the program, going to these places, talking about those matchups with your former teammates, and being able to see some new, right? Not the same year in, year out Big 12 matchups that we've been accustomed to, the games that don't really bring a lot of excitement. So I think the biggest highlight for me was being reminded of just how truly exciting and new this season is going to feel. And some of the comments that were made by some players, some coaches, different programs, they're definitely talking their stuff. I know LSU had a player, I think it was Harold Perkins, that he was asked about Danny Stutzman, and he was like, who's that? Well, I'm sure this year he will find out. But D-Mac, and seeing all the hoopla, SEC certainly knows how to do it big. I think as Sooner fans, maybe we're not used to media days being quite such a huge thing for the conference. The SEC media really did it big. The network was in full effect. Paul Feinbaum was talking his mess about Lincoln Riley. There was a lot of good. This man called him a literal loser.
Loser.
D-Mac.
Loser.
Like capital L, loser. So it doesn't get much crazier than that. But, man, what were your thoughts? You saw the comments, saw the hoopla. What are you thinking right now?
Yeah, a couple of things immediately come to mind. Number one is, again, right, we're in the big boy conference again. And again, not to continue to go back to yesteryear, but we both know the Big 12 was considered a smaller, less lower echelon conference. We're in the marquee conference, playing against the marquee teams, going to have access to the marquee stadiums. Obviously, the Big 10 has some and the Pac-10 too. So excited about just being an affirmative, something that matters, right? The actual alpha, the beginning again. So that's exciting. I loved Coach Venable's temperament. Listen, we're unapologetic about being Oklahoma. We're unapologetic for being a school that plays for championships. We have that same expectation here. We are excited to be in this conference and to deliver. I love that temperament because that's what it's going to take. And I'll speak to, like you say, the whispers and rumors and the hopium is what I call it. Because like you said, if you're not Georgia, and by the way, Alabama's got some variables that they've got to address. They've got some wait and see things that they've got to get confirmation on as well. But all this stuff about Texas, like we just beat their ass last year. The best team they had in a decade, we whooped that ass in Dallas. Okay, we won. We got the dub. Oh, man, you didn't whip that. We got the dub, right? So for everyone to be talking about what Texas is going to be doing, you know, I think they're at 10.5 as they're over. For the expectancy for wins this season, I think OU's is 7.5. By the way, guys, I'm going to go bet $1,000 before it goes to 8. I'm going to bet $1,000. I'm going to take a screenshot and I'm going to post it on my Twitter and I'm going to show it on this show. I'm betting $1,000. That's easy money. The point is, if a Texas team that lost a lot of guys to the NFL and graduation is supposed to win 10.5 games versus an Oklahoma team, which has gotten better at every position group, except the O-line. We'll have to address that. But I think even the quarterback position has a higher ceiling. Sign me up for everyone who's saying Texas is going to kick ass and OU isn't. When we've had the best three recruiting years in decades, we have stacked depth along, you know, both all three levels of the defense, skill guys, running backs, our quarterbacks is a Elite 11 MVP, right? He got some skin in the game last year. I love that Brent Venables, we're not coming in there, oh, by gosh, you know, by golly me. We're not coming in there like we'll wait and see. We're not coming in there like what had happened was. I love his approach in a sense of saying, you know, who was that, Roosevelt? Walk quiet with a big stick. It was something along those lines.
Yep.
I think that was his approach. And on the quiet, Barry, I know the schools in the SEC are like, ooh, I hope they don't do good. And on Saturday, there's pressure on our guys to deliver. And him speaking to that lets me know that's a quietest kept conversation that's happening between the walls and in that red room.
Man, I think you touched on something big, and we're going to do position breakdowns coming up, guys. It fall's about to be upon us. Me and D-Mac have been in the film. We are going to be taking a look at all the position groups, giving you guys our outlook, what we think will happen, and historically we've been right on a lot of these things. But I thought Venables, to kind of touch on a few specifics that he brought up, it's been talked ad nauseum that Oklahoma wasn't ready for the SEC, but this was the most candid I had ever seen him in discussing it. He said that when he took over the program, over that year, I believe he said 15 months, OU had lost something to the tune of 60 to 70 scholarship players, turned them over and flipped them to different guys within a very, 72. Very 72.
72. 72.
72. There you go. That is a roster turnover that is unprecedented. It was very unique circumstances to Oklahoma. And I think as fans looking at this year, the fact that Venables is kind of carrying this quiet confidence, he knows what the team did a year ago. He knows where the stumbling blocks are. And he's candid again in last year. He said that they just did not handle success well. He said that the team as a whole, when they had the win against Texas, things were looking really good, and you had a few injuries, Gentry goes down, you know, you're moving some pieces around, and all of a sudden you find yourself losing to Kansas and losing to Okie State in games that OU should have won. They should have taken care of business there, and they should have been able to at least be right on the cusp of that college football playoff, at the very least a conference championship. Well, I think he knows that his program has shored up the depth at a lot of those spots. A guy he spoke to specifically, D-Mac, was Kip Lewis. He said when Kip Lewis arrived, Venables was not worried about what Kip looked like as a 17-year-old, as you know, the program, the regime previously often worried about. If you didn't show up ready to go as a five-star ball player, you probably weren't developing into one. Venable said he wanted to know what Kip was going to look like in year three. That's what was important to him. And that is being able to see the vision and not only see it, but have a plan, a strategy, and then execute the vision. So I think the quiet confidence he's carrying, along with just the roster being bolstered to this point, and you touched on something. So many SEC programs, this is not the SEC of Les Miles, Nick Saban, Chizik when he had it rolling at Auburn. This is not that SEC. There, I would say, if I was going to run down like your top three or four coaches, Kirby Smart's your obvious number one, right? I would have to say at this point with Saban leaving, you've got
100%. He's the best coach in college football right now.
But would you say who's number? Is it? Is it Heupel? And like proven, I'm talking proven SEC commodity. Is it the Washington coach who took over Bama?
It is. It is.
Yeah. Okay. Is. But Heupel's up there.
Heupel's number three.
He's number three. And BV's. I think my point is like that there's not a whole bunch of teams and coaches who have done a lot. OU
Sark,
is walking
Sark,
in.
Sark's probably Sark. Three. Sark's three.
Sark's probably three. Heupel's four. You'd put BV probably five at this point.
Top six. Top six for sure.
And honestly, if they have a good year, BV quickly moves up the ranks there just on history cachet. Other than Smart, right? There's really nobody else that could potentially compete with that resume. But what do you think about OU's just overall outlook before we dig into the weeds in these next few episodes coming up? Just the team as a whole and how you felt about the way they're going to represent and just the competitiveness in the conference. Is it this thing where OU is going to have, you know, trouble with these teams, or do you think OU has a chance to handle a few games, maybe more than expected? And then obviously the tough ones will be the tough ones.
Yeah. You know, unknowns work both ways, and disadvantages in some spaces also are advantages in others. I think we as a program have to respect the fact that in the trenches, the SEC is going to require a tougher, more intentional, assertive offensive and defensive line. And I think the program has been addressing that for the last 2.5 off seasons. I don't know that we are. If you put a scale of 10 to 10, we're probably a 7.8. I don't even know if that we're an 8. I think it's just to be fair, we have to see it before we can say our the trenches are an 8 yeah. or a 9. So I'd say right now, let's just park us at a 7.8. All right. But the SEC has not seen the offense we're going to run. And there is continuity with Seth already being in the program for an entire season. So in other words, in terms of language and terminology, right, it's very easy to go from what Lebby had installed and say, hey, we're going to keep this in place so the guys have comfortability, reps, and all that stuff, and with the things that were really good, and saying, hey, we're going to modify and tweak and right pivot in these areas. So in other words, we're going to have a consistency in what we've been running. The SEC is not going to have film. There's not going to be 3 years worth of film of what OU runs. That's problematic for SEC teams. Our skill positions on both sides of the ball were ranked in the top five, right? Our receiver group is going to come in and be able to play. We're going to have size. We're going to have speed. We're going to have length. That's going to be a problem for other schools. So when I look at us in preparation for the SEC, the only two variables that I see, trenches, we're already going to be, listen, our trenches are not going to be a problem. Mizzou's not going to show up and out physical us. By the way, Tennessee's not going to show up and just beat the brakes off of us. They're not going to out physical us. Ole Miss has addressed, and I think their trenches, they've got some high caliber players, but they're just not going to outclass us. And again, with the Alabama transition of Saban and DeBoer coming in, bringing in his own guys, they are going to have the unknown variable of having to figure out who they are before they even try to figure out how to beat someone else. That's part of it. We don't have Georgia on the schedule. We know what OU Texas is. It's a rivalry. So when I look at the schedule and our opponents objectively, I believe Damian believes we are a 9-3 team. I think the 8-4, 9-3 is a safe place to hover. If we don't win 8 games, then the season was absolutely a detriment. But Barry, I wouldn't be surprised if we won 11. You can't say on the schedule, this is an, I mean, even Alabama got to come to Norman and they got a whole new culture shift happening. So history has shown us OU farts one game and loses to somebody they have no business losing to. History has shown us OU rises to the occasion when we need to. And I think this season is a rise to the occasion season. And again, I'll say this again, Barry. Behind the scenes, people look at our wins and losses. But behind the scenes, the actual foundation of the program needed a facelift, and BV addressed that. Where Lincoln was one who was wanting to be shiny and looking good on the forefront, BV said, nope, we're rotten at our core. We need to address the core and build out from there. And guess what? That's how you build a house. That's how you build a program. Year three, it'll be interesting to see. If you made me bet 8, I'd bet 9-3. I'd bet 9-3 because I have faith. My heart tells me you at a program like university, you never just earmark a loss. Like, where do they do that? This isn't, we're not Mizzou. We're not, you know what I'm saying? We're not Kentucky. I got to start using SEC teams. I'd usually say Tech.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start using the SEC. We're, Tech, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not Missouri. We're not A&M. A&M can say we're going to lose. Yeah. We don't do that because we're OU. So my heart says we could win every game. You know, reality tells me, logic tells me a 9-3 season is one that gets us into a good bowl game, a game on the cusp of the playoff, even, I think, in the SEC, depending on how and who we lose to. And, you know, injuries and just doing things the right way will keep us in good favor.
It is a situation where you just don't know where OU measures up. All we have to reference is bowl games. You got a few out-of-conference matchups. And historically, if you're wanting to say, like, where does OU fit, you know, in the past decade, they've competed very well in those out-of-conference matchups. They rarely have they looked overmatched. The difference is, as you spoke about, the trenches when it comes to week-to-week. Whereas in the Big 12, you know, 3 to 6 bodies along the line of scrimmage could get it done against Oklahoma State if they were elite. In the SEC, you're probably going to need probably 6 to 8. It is a different number. You've got to be able to roll depth out there. You know, you got 1 5-star left tackle. He goes down. There's another 5-star left tackle who's right behind him at all the pro, at Tennessee, at Bama, at Georgia, at LSU, everywhere. The talent across the board is just overall at a greater level. I want to touch on what you, if any, opinion you might have had in terms of, and as I'm doing this, streaming it over there on IG Live. So if you guys are on IG Live at any point, we might try doing this a little bit. But
tag me, bro. Tag me. Tag me.
I got you. I'll do that when we jump in here. So here's my question. Is there anything to make of who was brought? We know that Stutzman was obviously a leader of the program. We know that Jackson was the quarterback, the head dog. He was the man that was going to have to take the reins this coming year, you know, for OU to be where they want to be. If your quarterback's not one of your leaders, one of your main voices, your team has an issue. But Billy Bowman, who I don't think was a surprise, but we've been critical at times of his play on the field. Is there anything to take from who was brought? Does this solidify anything in your mind? And can you maybe speak to when you were a player and Venables was around, or obviously Stoops in your heyday, but when Venables was around, was there a process to deciding, because I don't think we've really talked about this, to deciding who comes to these kind of things? Is it just pure leadership? Is it pure leadership plus who can talk? Is it, well, what are kind of the things that that make a difference in whether a guy is able to get that flight, get that drive to Dallas, or if he stays at home and just on Twitter?
First, I want to speak to Billy Bowman. He has earned the right to be in the building, a multiple-year startee, a starter, a conference guy, and an AA guy, All-American guy. Our critiques of him are in-house. They are not anybody else's business. I might try to You know what I'm saying? I might smack my brother upside his head because he's getting on my nerves, but outside our house, we'll never breach that level of commitment and communication. You know what I'm saying? No one else needs to know, you know, that Billy's got some areas in the in his position that he can improve in. And I think he'd be the first to say, hey man, in these positions, I want to get better. So let's just park that there. He has earned the right and 100% deserves to be in the building. Let me mute this. We on live, baby.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. What's going on, good people? I'm over here pointing at you guys. In terms of the captains, I actually have the biggest amount of hope for JFA. And it's good to see. Listen, there are no, what's the word I'm going to use? Anyway, I'm just going to be very direct. Like, they're not going to just give it to you. So for Jackson to be there, I think his position is one of the positions where it is a key cog and making sure the machine is running and successful. But it also means Jackson has taken on an alpha position and is an individual who is becoming a leader and respected amongst his team. And as a true sophomore, that carries a lot of weight. And you spoke to something because it actually made me laugh. Oftentimes, even my freshman year, they would ask me to go to Santee on Tuesdays because they knew I could talk. So they're like, you know, hey Mackie, you know, make sure if you go say this, don't say that. Like we would literally have that that prep session. So that is a part of it, but I don't think that's a part of media day. Media day is a thing, like you said, it is a show. It's a national opportunity, or it could be, you know, you could create bulletin board material if you're not prepped. And so for Jackson to be there, it tells me he's taking care of business in summer. It tells me he is probably at par or above par and what their expectations are, I think, of he as a leader on the team. And of course, Danny's probably the alpha in the entire locker room. Was it you or was I talking to someone? It was you. You spoke to the Danny and Billy dynamic. Was that you who told me that, Barry, or did someone else tell me?
There might have been someone else.
Let me tell you this dynamic. Oh, by the way, this will be sweet. People will like this. Okay. So Danny is the spokesman for the team. He's earned it. He's got tenure. He's got accolades. He's got the trophies, right? Or
the man.
You know, the acclaim. Yeah. There's one person on the entire team that Danny takes a back seat to when they speak. Do you know who it is?
It's Billy. Context.
It's got to be it's Billy Bowen.
Wow.
So let me explain that. In the locker room, Danny is a guy who consistently will be like, God, he's the rah-rah guy. He's the guy in there talking good, bad, and different. He's getting them pepped up. He's calling them out for low standards, right? He's a guy who the team can consistently depend on to kind of be the heartbeat of what's happening. Billy's not. Billy's a guy who doesn't say as much, but Billy is a guy who Danny will say, you know what? Let me shut my ass up if Billy has something to say. That's big time. Like, by the way, that's also mutual respect. And so to see that dynamic, in fact, I actually heard that from a coach now that I think about it, to hear that mutual respect and to see that that's the way things play out on the defensive side of the ball, I think we have the right guys there. And there's one last piece, B. We have to have people there that are not going to be at the very first SEC media day and show any sign of weakness or any sign of being a poser, meaning somebody who's going to talk a bunch of crap but can't back up what they're going to be saying. And so I really believe from a program standpoint and from BV standpoint, it's very intentional that we didn't have more guys there, that it's very intentional that Jackson Arnold is there so that he could be in that environment, the circus, if you will. And then, of course, the guys like Billy and Danny, those guys are some of the alphas of the team, who needs to be there so the other schools can see. You know, when the LSU guy talks about who is this guy, come on, bro, watch out. He's the guy who got AA over you, bro. Like, that's who he is. You know what I'm saying? Since you want to know, he's all America, you not, bro. So let me speak for Danny since he can't speak for himself in that regard.
Yeah, I think it is a good sign for Oklahoma that they are in a position where they've got guys like this that they're now bringing down, where there's no question who your leaders are in that room. There's no question who the voices are. And I imagine that on those teams that were more successful, that the leadership was clear, right? If there's nobody to follow, you know, we've talked about him on this pod, but Tim Grover, again, just a reference guy who trained MJ, trained Kobe. He talks about, man, if leadership on a team is not clearly defined, then people don't know their job. They don't know when and where their voice matters. And then if you don't have leaders, you don't have the capability to elevate a voice that should be heard, right? Maybe there is a guy who says something that's notable, that's important. And Billy's like, nah, shut up. You need to hear this. Or there's a guy who's on the sideline, who's talking a bunch of stuff. And they're like, nah, you need to simmer that down and wait your turn. And that is important. That's important in a workplace, on team, wherever you go, you got to have clearly defined leadership. One place that has clearly defined leadership before we get out of here today, D-Mac, I think we've touched enough on kind of the media day side, and we're going to do position breakdowns. We want to keep this thing short and sweet today for you, you Sooner Nation and a Barry and Mac Show fans. College Football 25 is out. A lot of the gameplay stuff has been around. I'm not a huge gamer. I'm probably the worst to ask. I don't know where you sit in terms of that. I do enjoy a good video game every now and again, and I'm going to play this along with my 2K, right? I'm a 2K, EA Sports, Madden kind of guy. And then after that, it's got to really tickle my fancy before I hop on and play. But got a lot of people around me who absolutely love this stuff and are diehards. They train in the gym. They're young, old, and the like. Do you get any feeling of nostalgia seeing this thing back? Were there any clips or highlights of the gameplay, of the footage that you said, man, that's pretty cool, that's pretty sweet? Or were there anything where you're like, I don't know how I feel about that? That's we do know, for those wondering, Arch Manning is in the game. You remember Arch Manning was holding out for a little bit? God.
Yeah.
Like, you talk about diva. He was like, I don't want to get – it was over the $400 little pay they were going to give him, which everybody was getting the same amount. Everybody knew what the thing was. Yeah, I don't think it's about the money with that game. It's about just being immortalized in the game, right? That, at least looking on, that's what I would think. But, man, what did you think? Any thoughts? Anything worth noting?
I remember the first time I was on a video game. In fact, if you remember our first season, somebody found – I don't know if it was a picture or a clip of them using
it. It was a clip.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. I think I had the 36 on, which was pretty sweet, right? My freshman number. I love it. It's salute to the player. Salute to ESPN, EA Sports. Salute, or whoever. I don't know who the maker is. I haven't played it yet. But salute to everybody for bringing that back. That is a fabric of gaming. That is a fabric of, you don't want to have something as amazing as that. I remember it that came out when I was in college, and the first college footballs were my years of college, and it was a big deal to us, man. And I, you know, I've coached and trained a lot of receivers and skill guys, and I see their parents or them posting their profile and their stats on social media, and some people are like, look how fast I am, and some people are like, they got my speed wrong. So like, all of that is dope. I love to see it. I think it's exciting. You know, and I wonder if they're gonna have the in-year updates. I hope they got a legacy squad of the 2000 team and got the young lad at H. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But hopefully they got us in there. I don't know. We'll see. I haven't even played it, but I am going to get, my sister works for PlayStation and I don't even have a PS5, but I need to get a PS5.
Ooh, yeah, you need to get
I want to spend some time playing the game. I think more so, I'm 40, man. You know, I'm excited for the young lads and for them to have the opportunity. I'm glad they got to monetize and make a few dollars in the deal. It looks to me like they've done a pretty solid job with OU. I know our overall, I think, is 88 or 89 or something like that. And so there are some aspects of our program that hey, man, let's prove it. But put some respect on that interlocked OU. And again, shout out to the young lads out there. I mean, you should see it, bro. I probably got tagged 5 times between Facebook and Insta with guys who I've either coached or trained, and they're like, coach, look, I got that. And it just warms my heart. Like, that's a big deal, man. You know what I'm saying? To have the ability to see yourself in the game. It's sick. I like it.
Pretty sweet stuff. Yeah. We'll have to, for those who don't, if you're not on the Instagram, go follow the Barry and Mac Show, Instagram. The clip is over there. We'll have to repost.
Is it over there?
On X. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Once I found it, I was like,
Did you find it, bro? You found it.
So it was, somebody had posted it somewhere. It was circling the web, but you go to the gameplay footage. I'll tell you guys, there is a video that somebody has posted that is gameplay footage. That's like, I swear, man, you're like 13 or 14 receptions. They just kept throwing the ball to you. So I don't know why, right? I think Quentin Griffin had a headache.
I don't know why either.
Q had a couple catches. It was great. It's good stuff. Hypes at quarterback, obviously. So very, very neat. But as always, want to thank you guys for tuning in. SEC Media Day, full effect. Great content coming from the players. Venables, if you haven't heard the press conference, really good stuff. OU Insider has done a fantastic job of covering the entire event. Guys have been down there, asked great questions. Cool to see some of the content creators also there at SEC Media Day. Some of the guys who maybe didn't take that traditional journalism background having an opportunity. Obviously, that's, you know, us. We're in this space now talking about a program that we love to watch, that some of us have played for. You know, I think it's cool to see the growth and where this thing is. And if OU's going into the SEC doing it big, I think all of these places that cover the sport, that cover the team, also should be doing it big as well. D-Mac, any closing thoughts before we get out of here, man?
Yeah, just an attitude of gratitude for OU Insider and Parker and Brandon. They extended an invite for us to be there. And if the schedule had allowed, I would have gone to some of the stuff that was happening at the OU component of Media Day. Also, just, you know, this is that time of the year where the casuals are like, oh, there's nothing going on. But the real true football heads know this is where seasons are going to be won and lost. And so the program, as other programs, are in the meat of their summer. And you guys are seeing some of the numbers come out. By the way, we didn't address that today, Barry, but there was a post. What's my guy's name? Good guy. He was on our show. He's now with On Three and those guys at Scoop. What's his name? The primary beat writer guy.
Oh, George Stoya.
George. Shout out to George. He posted some of the guys who've gained weight along the offensive, defensive line, and backers. So you're seeing some of the players and what their hard work is meriting them in the offseason. I'm just chomping at the bit. When we do these position breakdowns, just FYI to everybody else, we promise to do a deep dive and be honest, right? I don't have to toe a company line. I'm not going to be here to tell you guys, you know, the rose colored or the crimson colored, you know. Nah, we're going to tell the truth. And looking forward to really getting into that piece. I think we're going to probably start that next week. I'm excited about potting twice a week again, man. You know, to a point where the content is consistently coming out. It's there. Football season's here. I'm going to Rocky Top. Hype invited me up. Shout out to my quarterback. I'm going to an Oregon game. My buddy's the receiver coach at Oregon. I think he stole a receiver from us this last cycle. So I'm excited about that. And I'm going to a Michigan game, man. One of my buddies was a head coach in high school, and he just retired. Well, one of my best friends, actually. And some of his kids are at Michigan. And so we got VIP treatment at Michigan. So I'm excited about going to Tennessee. I'll be at Oregon. I'll be at the Big House. And then obviously my goal is to make two games at OU this season, one home and one away. So we'll figure that piece out. But, you know, humbled, excited, grateful, thankful. And man, I say this to you periodically, but bro, it's always great to do this with you. It's never a chore. You make this thing a good time. Passion project year 3.0. So good stuff.
Absolutely, man. Well, as always, want to thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure to go follow us over there on OU Insider where we're posting. And make sure to check out all of our social media at BWise Fitness, at D_Mac13, and Dame That Dude over on Instagram.